You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are your co-hosts for this show, the Brothers Layman, Chris.
And Jonathan, coming in via the Skype.
Yep, and Skype doing this thing already.
Already, huh?
I was like, oh, you just going to flip a little, give a little scratch. Okay.
Already. Okay,
yeah, it's all good. And just like how everything just been going on in this world, you know, that's going to be brought up at the end of the show. We're going to say that. But, I mean, for now, we got a lot to go over. A lot of stuff has jumped off last week. I mean, our last episode, shout out to them fellas. Spirit
hey,
G, Hoopla
Spirit
Show,
G.
Bailey the Teddy. Great, Teddy D. Came in, man. We had our little, basically our old group show talking NBA. Free agency, billions.
Did the part one on our show, and then y'all need to check out the Hoopla Show. We did part two, and we went in again.
Yep. A lot of the stuff we're going to hit now, with Kevin Durant, D-Wade. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cash for James Harden. My boy retiring.
Cash is still... Yep. The end of an era.
Yeah, man. Yeah, of course, more coming on. You know, some folks winning more championships. Somebody may be cashing in by this time tomorrow.
It's gonna happen.
You know, and I know we got some. You know, of course, you getting 5 minutes. You getting the Noise Awards. What the fuck moments? All of that coming at you.
Yes, sir.
So, if you want to talk sports, anything else, y'all know how we do on this show. Hit us up via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Out on Twitter, @BrothersLayman. Voicemail, 323-455-4219. You can always hit us up on the website, blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, any comments, any concerns, anything that y'all want to dish out to us, let us know, and we will definitely get back at you.
Yes, sir. All right, man. So, well, at least we left off on the show for our listeners, man. The big domino dropped in free agency.
Yes, it did.
Man, folks was feeling some kind of way about it. Well, I mean, you got to have some kind of feeling.
Of course. I mean, it's the second best player in the league, and he's joining the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And a team that really, in a sense, they didn't necessarily need him to succeed. So a lot of people, I wouldn't use the term angered.
I would just say that he was probably acting like this.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
That is exactly how they felt.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It was a shock. I mean, you know, we said on the show, I thought he would re-up, take the 1 year, come out, try again with Westbrook, you know, get the 10 mil. But, like I've said before, it was the perfect storm. You had the jump in cap by over $20
million,
you know, which meant every team had a max contract spot.
Yes.
That's what we were saying all leading up to the season. Everybody can give max to somebody.
Yep.
And they just had a opening at small forward spot, which that player struggled. And you can say was a part of not being able to close the deal.
Well, and then it makes you wonder if this was part of the reason he was struggling.
I mean, yeah, you just feel the pressure. I mean, on one hand, you could say that because, you know, as we have found out over time that, yeah, I believe Draymond Green and some of his other teammates have been reaching out to Kevin Durant
for a while,
almost a whole year. Like, hey, come over here.
And if I'm Harrison Barnes, how does that make you feel? You know what I'm saying? When you know for a fact that if they sign him, you got to leave.
It's almost two ways. I mean, it's two ways to think about it. He could take that way. You know, like, okay, I'm going to shrink under the pressure because now I got to prove that I'm better than Kevin Durant.
Well, you ain't better than him.
Yeah, or, you know, and everybody not built like this. It's only them rare people who are like, you know what? I got, you think about yourself. In 5 years from now, like everybody else, yo, I got a chance to go out with a ring and get paid. I show up in game, if he goes up in game five, hits them buzzer joints, they win in game five, partly because Harrison Barnes, for that period that they need somebody to keep them afloat, he keeps them afloat. Mm-hmm. He getting his money, which he did. Mm-hmm. But then it would be like, oh, well, you know, he might have got more offers. He probably could have went some places, could have went to Miami maybe.
Well, possibly. I mean, if they had won the championship, they might not have broken it up.
Yeah, because, I mean, you just felt like, why taint it?
Why ruin a good thing?
Right. However, I mean, if they've been recruiting him all season, and they've been winning, killing people all season, you know, maybe, and you can kind of jinx it, but they have two championships, and the rich get richer. The owner's got a stadium coming.
They have one championship.
Right, but you're right. But they would have had two. But yes, I mean, you moving into a new building in Frisco. You know, of course, I would, you know, love for the folk of Oakland to still be able to go to the game a lot easier. But hey, as the owner, that's smart to put a franchise in Frisco.
Yeah.
That's a smart business decision. Because folk come crazy. I see people when I'm there when the Giants is playing. Everybody going to the Giants game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's money, another superstar, not a star. You know, like I said, you had a chance to add the second best player in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to pass that up. And if I'm Kevin
Durant,
it
is hard to pass that up.
It was, like I said, a perfect storm. He couldn't do this next season.
Nope.
He almost, you know, he had his best season. But, you know, yes, but at the same time, I've said it as Golden State woke up and, you know, played how we had seen them play all season, which was better than Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City kind of fell in their bad habits again, or what got them to that spot and losing leads. You know, and they choked. That's how people feel. I don't say they choked. I just think Golden State was the better team and beat them. But a lot of it is you choked. And, you know.
Yeah, if you have three chances to off them and you can't do it, I would consider that choking.
Yes. And
I wouldn't say I was mad Kevin Durant went to OKC as much as I would say I was disappointed in his decision, just because I come from the old school era, so I appreciate guys who like the competition and want to beat people as opposed to joining forces with people to try to basically win as many titles as you can get. I mean, it's, of course you want to win titles, but my thing is it's almost like I compare it sometimes to just to like a video game almost. If the game becomes too damn easy and you're just constantly whooping ass all the time, it gets boring. You want some type of competition. So why team up with a team that won 73 games last year? You're going to add more fuel to the fire. You've just weakened OKC. You have weakened the Western Conference. I mean, just and now it's in a sense like almost a two-team race. That's how most people are going to look at it. where's the competition? It's like people are shying away from it. I don't want to have to play against Steph Curry and them anymore. I'd rather be on their team. It's like, come the fuck on, man. You were that close to beating them.
Yeah.
How about you man up and go back one more year to OKC and say, you know what? We were that close. Let's go get it again.
Now, right? Look, now here's the funny thing. If he says fine, they play Golden State again and they lose again, mm-hmm. and he was still able to go there, will we still be like, oh, well, at least you tried two times? You might be like, dude, you suck. They would feel like he ain't a winner and you going over there to cheat. But here's the thing, to your point. I will say for the old school, and we keep picking out two or three dudes. Like, don't nobody ever.
I can pick out a lot of dudes. Right, there were so many battles where certain players couldn't get over these humps, and they wasn't like, well, I'm just going to lead this team and join this team.
You didn't have that many teams. One, you didn't have that as many teams now. They added about 10 franchises.
They were a good number.
And you didn't have free agency like this. Like, no. It wasn't, you know, drafting
the
different.
Month
you
wasn't got, like that.
Right. Plus, you had dudes you had to stay in for a few years. You getting guys right out of high school. I mean, so the rosters. I mean, that's why you had, like, we feel like the Lakers and the Celtics. Because you still, like, how the hell you get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and draft Magic Johnson and draft James Worthy? How did that happen? That's why I still trip on, like, when – he was like – Worthy was like what? The number one or at least the top three pick? I want to feel like he was the number one pick.
I think so.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Magic come in 79. They win his rookie year. He wins finals MVP his rookie year. And I'm like – and all of a sudden somehow you get a number one pick? I mean, I just see how that actually
– I don't know. I would have to
– Right. Those teams were deep almost like because you had all – you still had – 12 some odd roster spots. Though it's not
yeah,
like
it
the
was
rosters
only 12,
got,
it was only 12 spots.
Right, and you had less teams, so the ability, you know, if you good enough, you can get guys. And guys are getting trouble. Like, that whole Barkley thing, it was like, dude. But you went and jumped on, you know,
well,
the Rockets. Right, you went and jumped on.
I checked the age. He was 33 at the time, so he was towards the end of his career.
Okay, so basically at what age – You have to. So, what age do you need?
It's because we haven't seen dudes do this in the prime years of their career.
So basically, if you do, if you 30, if you have a three in front of your name, your age, it's okay.
No,
because I mean, it's like if you've been in the league like 12 years, because
technically 30 is still your prime year. You're still in your prime years. Barkley was 33. Like, once you hit 32, 33 years old, then yeah, you're starting to hit the tail end of your career at that point.
But you're not like, but they said, but right before that, he was balling that season. Like, he was putting up 20
and 10. He was still putting up points. And for me, I'm like, well, if you're an integral part of what's being done, then, you know, then I can't complain at that age. Like, if you're a Malone, Gary Payton type thing, well, we're just kind of latching on to a team. We're at the end of our careers. We're just trying to get a ring. And you're not really like, you're like the fourth or fifth option. I mean, it'd be nice to add a ring to your career, but at that point, your legacy is pretty much set.
Yeah, but it's like if he was doing what he was doing, he'd still be on that spot. And it was one, it's a year. And then also, I blame the fans and media for that.
Oh, okay, we say it's a year. Realistically, okay. We know he's going to sign there long term.
But this is why I feel like when we all do it and make rain. There was a T-shirt. We put it as one of our the things for the show. It don't mean a thing without the ring. That's what we. That's what people
well,
been saying. We
and, it was it, it it and that was the record. That was different right. Because they established themselves.
But people,
as one
but
of,
people still feel like that. Put it this way: if you don't have a ring, this is how we. If you don't have a ring, there's only so high you can go.
There's only so high you can go, but you can still be considered one of the greatest players ever.
Let's put it this way: Dan Marino. Do you think
it's one of the greatest people? There are still people out there who consider Dan Marino the greatest quarterback
ever. But I can tell you this: probably now, people feel like he out the top three.
some people might, or some people might leave him in there.
And I'm saying he's still like comparable.
To me, Dan Marino's still one of the best quarterbacks ever. Yes. That doesn't change. But people, and that doesn't change.
But when they say, "Are you better than?" Like, okay, everybody's saying like LeBron James compared to Jordan.
I hate
these
comparisons. I hate these things.
Yeah, and I hate it. Why is it Jordan? Why Jordan? And why is it, I was the first thing? He got 6 rings. Every argument with LeBron James starts with, but he ain't got 6 rings, though. But, or Jordan, 6 for 6. And it's all about the championships. It does help you get – because we only discuss, like, the top three. Or top two. Who's behind Jordan? Is it this dude? And we forget everybody else.
The thing about the whole who's the best ever, it's all subjective.
Right.
But there's never going to be a consensus of who the top player is. So my thing is, what's even the point of debating about it?
Because I feel like if he can get – he gets some rings, if he still plays out he's playing, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. You a Hall of Famer with rings. That's
and people are still never going to put him ahead of Jordan.
Are they going to put him ahead of – just do it by position, since people like doing that. Is he going to be put ahead of LeBron James?
Who?
Kevin Durant. Who you no. right now? No, he's right now. He's not, and you not
he
put him.
He will never be.
Right. See, but that's.
But you in most people's eyes, he will never. He will never be better than LeBron James.
Right.
There are some people probably feel he probably is better though.
Right, and people feel like with LeBron James, they want to crown him. But you always like, but he ain't winning enough championships. So, people may feel like, well, damn, like.
Well, the thing with
like,
LeBron,
why are you judging me just off of, well, I can't be better than him because I ain't got 6 rings. And that's how.
The other thing that, I mean, part of it is because LeBron is such a freak of nature. That's the other part of it, is that people don't really bring up all the time, is that LeBron's stature and size and speed and handling ability and passing ability, like all these components that he has put him on this pedestal, because we have never seen anybody like that before. To Kevin Durant's, for Kevin Durant, yeah, he's in a sense a freak of nature. We've never seen a person like this long with all this stuff, but we've seen similarities. We've never seen anything compared to LeBron James. Nothing similar, nothing like that. I mean, you could say, oh, he's Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson wasn't 260 pounds. Like,
Magic Johnson didn't have him hops.
Exactly. There's no comparison for LeBron. He's a phenomenon. Right,
but Magic Johnson, LeBron James can't play with fives.
So we expect phenomenon to be the greatest of all time. Tiger Woods. Everybody and their mama said Tiger Woods was breaking Jack Nicholson's record. Always.
He was breaking it,
and he never did. This is why I'm always like, let's just wait until the end of their career, because we never know.
Yeah,
you never know what can happen.
That's how I feel. But so I just say he feels pressure to win rings.
And I don't doubt that. But for me to jump on the coattails of a team that doesn't even need you, who got to the finals without you, that's weak sauce.
We say one, they didn't win.
Okay, but they didn't win.
And they're like we say, you got to play the game. There is no they don't right. But
that
we don't.
That I get.
Yeah, I just think we don't like that the team that he lost to, he went to. And
that's what I'm
already
saying.
That's
why I said I was disappointed.
Yeah, he jumped championship contending teams, but
you rode the coattails of a team who didn't need you. Like, they didn't need you.
Okay, but so he should stay. That's the thing. People want. I would have preferred if he went to Boston.
He could have gone anywhere else. He could have gone anywhere. That is his right as a player. Right. But he jumped on the coattails of somebody who did not need you. It'd be different if you went to a team who was missing a piece. And it's like, we need this one guy who can put us over the hump. Kevin Durant, you're that guy. It's not like, oh, we're kicking everybody's ass anyway. We were one game away from winning the finals. Well, but, you know, let's just add, you know, Kevin, come on over. We don't really need you. We don't really need you. And we kicked your ass, by the way. But, you know, come on over. It's like, come on.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I know how you feel.
You scared? Yeah, you scared, ain't you, bitch? Never. I can smell the bitch in you. Ooh, that vintage bitch.
I mean,
seriously, had he gone to Boston? Could you imagine if he went to Boston and teamed up with Al Horford? And you got Isaiah Thomas. I mean, come on, you would have been the missing piece.
Yeah, and they would have just traded for they could have traded for somebody else.
And but no, you know, no. And you could have been on the East. Could have had an easier route.
Well, this is a funny thing.
Have to play LeBron James in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I will say this, though. If you know a dude feel like the dude been having your number, and it's like, do I want to play LeBron James? Some people are like, look, if I go East, I have to go through LeBron James. And maybe I have to do that in the finals, but that's the reason why LeBron ain't go West. If I'm gonna lose to a championship contending team, at least let me lose to them in the finals.
So what you're telling me is that these guys are scared of competition.
I'm saying this dude, whatever feeling he has, because we're gonna get into his former teammate, he wouldn't have done that.
No.
Westbrook would not have done that. He'd have been like, y'all come here and let's do this.
Exactly. That's why I love Westbrook.
Well, and plus, Russell Westbrook probably like, he want to go somewhere and be the guy.
I argue he should be staying in OKC.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard that there's talk of he might, but I mean, you already hearing, you know, the Celtics, rumors of them, sources said.
I don't trust that source.
Like I tweeted
to Spirit, I trust Adrian Wojnarowski more than any other source when it comes to NBA. His is gold. He is gold when it comes to everything. I listen to him. This Howard Beck dude from Bleacher Report, I don't care what he says. Same with who's the other? Is it like Jason Cole or something? He does football. I don't pay attention to half these dudes anymore. Chris Bouchard be wrong. Like,
well, Wojnarowski, that dude, he is.
Wojnarowski is money every time.
I listen to him.
He said OKC has a really good chance of keeping Russell Westbrook, so I take him at his word.
Yeah, and that's an honest guy. He didn't say he was staying. He just said they have a good chance because that's why we said about them being there. Like,
what's he said? Victor Oladipo, Steven Adams, those are like his dudes. Those are his guys.
I mean, the thing is, he's wanted this, a la Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
A la pretty much most dudes who want to be great. Now, in defense of Kevin Durant, he was that guy for the Thunder. He was the number one option on that team.
Yep.
Nobody's saying, Kevin Durant, how come you ain't giving Westbrook the ball? Nobody was saying that.
Guy. No, he was the guy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what's Westbrook? I mean, Sam Presti's proven that he can build a winning team. And he's always looking ahead. Mm-hmm. So you always got a guy who's forward thinking is going to do what he needs to do to win, and it's all about winning.
Which is why I am so annoyed that people basically are stopping after this season. They're like, it's impossible. They're making it seem like it's impossible for him to keep Russell Westbrook. I'm like, why can't? Well, what is he going to do? Why can't he add a superstar next offseason?
All it is the market. That's all it is. That's all it is.
If they win, it doesn't matter.
It shouldn't, but that's always there.
The Golden State was a small market for a while.
It
was considered a small market.
No, because it's the whole Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Because it gets the whole Bay Area, and the Bay Area, Frisco, is like the third most expensive damn city to live in. So they.
What about San Antonio?
Small market.
That, it don't matter. Right. But now
you had dudes. You
it doesn't matter. You
drafted well because you had George Gervin. Then you drafted David Robinson.
That's why he didn't get
a championship. But David Robinson wasn't no boat rocker. They was, you know, basically they was taking care of him, and he was the guy.
David Robinson. Well, when they won the titles, it was Twin Towers.
Right. And then somebody, you draft Tim Duncan, takes your franchise to the next level. But like I said, they were always a smart dude. If San Antonio was a big market, there would have never been this, oh, who can they get? You know, we finally, the last 2-3 years, are finally getting like free agents. If this was a big market, they're like, oh, Tim Duncan getting old. Oh, okay, I want to play. I'll go over there. If that was Houston, they going.
Yeah. But
because it's San Antonio. And hey, it's a small market. I admit that. Milwaukee. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won, but he did say, I want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shaq. You know, this is why they changed the contract now. But knowing Shaq, even if Orlando offered, well, he said L.A. paid him more. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. gave him like 10 some odd or 15 more million dollars. But now, like, he'd want to go to L.A. He'd be like, Orlando small. They felt like a big fish in a small pond. Some folk want the big city life.
Yeah.
I think for Durant, I think that was probably part of the reason. A loop, like, that's like kind of icing on the cake. For him, it was just like, this team is just so goddamn good. And they've been like, yo, dude, come over here. So I'm coming. But now the question is, though, because I could see Westbrook staying. I can see that. And then they're going to give him, they're giving him max. You know, but.
Absolutely.
Right. Of course, it's, you know, but then the other play is, do I take that chance? Because honestly, if you asked me between the two, I would have been like, Durant was more likely to stay. I think they could have both left, but if you asked me who was more likely to leave, I'm like, Westbrook.
And do you think that would have been a component of Kevin Durant still being there?
I think if both of them knew, like, yo, I'm riding this out, then I think, yeah, but I'm sure the uncertainty, he has to know, like, maybe he knows it's like 50-50. Maybe Kevin Durant is like, this is a straight coin flip for this dude.
Well, Kevin Durant did come out and say he was like, their relationship ain't never going to be the same.
Nah, because you know Westbrook going to look at him differently.
And yeah,
now,
you a bitch.
And now it's probably Westbrook like, you an enemy now. We ain't teammates no more.
Exactly. You ain't my friend no more.
And I was like, and maybe he was mad because I'd be like, dude, you could at least stay one more year. Like, let's at least try again. You know, you're going to be a free agent next season. Yeah, it could have been like, oh, I smell Vince's bitch. I'm like, I'm about to kick your ass. But
that's why I'm like, I can't wait to see them play.
But now the thing is, are you understanding that if Presti has to make a move and trade him, he's gonna trade him. And
absolutely. I think I truly believe the longer they keep him, he told them he's staying. I think the closer we get to the trading deadline and he's being kept, I know rumors are going to fly, but I think he's going to end up staying.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go somewhere else. But my thought was, if the best chance to trade him for the most value is right now.
Because,
I mean, now everybody got their picks. You kind of wait the 90 days for folk to get traded, for that little trade period to pass where they can't be traded. And then you flip them. I mean, he has to think about that. That is a very – and it's an understandable decision. Because maybe Westbrook is playing poker. And like, yo,
yeah, maybe he's like, I don't know.
I'm making that decision.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'll make it after the season. Like, yeah. Oh, fuck me.
But I understand him not signing an extension. I'm like, yeah.
No, I get that. I get that.
Because I don't like that whole, is he going to be loyal? He's like, dude. Are you serious?
And that's where it's got to be somewhat cutthroat and kind of fucked up. And if I'm Sam Presti, I would have to have a serious sit-down conversation with Russell Westbrook and be like, look, we just lost Kevin Durant. We do not, under any circumstances, want to lose you as a player. But real talk, I cannot have you handcuff this organization based on us not knowing if you're going to leave or stay.
Yeah, and that's sometimes... I
need you to be straight up fucking honest with me, dude. Straight up.
Yeah, but then that's always feel like it's... Open,
or it's, are you not? Because if you're not, we need to deal you as soon as possible so we can move on.
But the messed up part is if he showed that hand earlier, they would have traded him two seasons ago. And you don't... Because it's like, oh, well, he's going to be a free agent. Let me cash in right now.
Because his deal was up after Kevin Durant, he wasn't the primary focus.
No, but they knew, like...
It's not like his value has dropped. His value, if anything, has gone up.
No, it is gone up. It's, I, saying, This, yeah, see, these kind of decisions, these is why them dudes make that money. Because this is a tough situation. And I'm totally cool with
it.
Would eat both sides. I get both sides because I understand Westbrook and he should play it exactly how he's playing it. I'm loyal to the organization. I'm basically here. I'm here. I'm going to be here until my contract up, but I don't say that. I'm going to be here going into next season. That's all I'm focused on. It's next season, and that's it.
If I'm Sam Presti, I got to have that heart-to-heart, man. We got to have this talk.
If I'm Presti.
Kind of my career, bro. Yeah. We got to have a heart-to-heart.
I would do it. I wouldn't expect him to say anything. I wouldn't expect him to give me an answer. But if you press the just the whole poker thing, I want to read him. I gotta test him. Mm-hmm. I don't expect him to give me a definitive because that's not fair. Yep. You don't say, dude, tell me what you're doing right now because his agent's gonna be like, shut up. No, don't say anything. You know, which right. So if he kind of like, you know, you sit down, y'all have a. As honest a conversation as it is, mm-hmm. You don't want to be like Lou, dude. We shopping you.
That's what I'm saying. You don't say that to them.
He can't say that either. But they both know. Look, you doing your job.
Know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my job, and you do your job. And hey, you know, we peoples. I appreciate you. You know, whatever happens, it's business. This is all business. It's nothing personal. I appreciate everything you've done and vice versa. It is strictly a business decision.
I would let him know we working to get you some pieces, bro. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I'm always dedicated to making this team better, whatever I got to do.
And you're the guy now.
And if that means trading you, then that's what that means. That just means I got to do whatever it takes to make this franchise a championship contender.
I would let him know. Right now, dude, you the man. You are the guy. We trying to roll. We rolling with you right now. Let's go.
Now, where should he go, honestly? Because, I mean, the further on it gets, and because he's on he's a one-year rental, you know, who you think willing to take that chance? I mean, Boston, I know, he's trying to cast them chips.
Oh, yeah.
And Sam
where
Presti.
Where should he go?
I mean, Sam Presti, like, hey, Boston got that Nets pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Spirit's favorite player ever. Anthony Bennett.
The Nets pick. Where should he go?
Go to the Nets with Anthony Bennett. Spirit will love that.
Although, that would be awesome.
Yeah, because although the team I know he don't want him to go to is Boston.
Yep. Where should Russell Westbrook go?
I mean, look, I ain't going to front. It's hard because
there's so many fucking guards everywhere.
Well, honestly, look, if he wants to get that star treatment, he's got to go to Los Angeles to the Lakers. I mean, they have a red carpet for him. He just needs to let them know, hey, I want to come.
And then,
hey, Jim, you want to save your job? Holla at me.
And you keep all components, huh? But at that point, you're hindering the development of your young dudes.
Look, we know what the Lakers about.
I get it. The Lakers will never be about development.
They're going to do it right now because that's what they're supposed to do. If there is a chance that they can land a superstar, 10 times out of 10, they're rolling that dice.
But they trade your young dudes and ensure that you're getting them.
Yes. Brandon Ingram and
D'Angelo Russell have to be on the table for like the conversation to even take place.
Sounds like a Jim Buss move. Sam Presti, if that's what you want to do, and you know he won't go to L.A., hurry up and strike before Jim Buss is out of here. Give me one of them. Come on, Jim Buss. Give me Brandon Ingram. You'll be married. You'll be a hero. You brought a superstar.
Give me D'Angelo Russell. Give me Larry Nance Jr. and a first-round pick. You can have him.
Yeah.
Booyah. Thank you.
But you know they ain't gonna go with that pick. You got to take a vet. That's what I told you.
Okay, I'll take Nick Young and waive him.
That's what I said. That's the deal I've been on. Give me Lou Williams instead.
Give me Lou.
Yeah.
Give me Lou Williams.
But I already got my 1 point guard. And you still got Cameron Payne. I don't need Lou Williams.
Well, Lou Williams can play the two.
No, I can absorb Nick Young's salary.
So who's your sixth man off the bench?
You got Oladipo, so you got Payne. You got
That's what I'm saying. Bonus. You got Oladipo.
Well, who's you the sixth man right now? You mean for the Lakers or for Oklahoma City?
For OKC if they make this deal.
Who's a sixth man right now?
Your guess is Enes Kanter.
Yeah, Enes Kanter.
All right then, but you add Lou Williams and you got double punch off the bench.
Yeah, I feel you. I would just because I got Kanter because I'm starting over basically.
Yeah.
Once that happens, Lou Williams gonna want to be traded. So I'm like,
yeah.
They probably will because they may feel like it's a having Russell and Nick having Young. Westbrook and Lou Williams there, but I'd be like, give me Nick Young contract so I can just waive him.
Well, and then I need a first round pick.
I'm gonna do you a favor, Jim Buss, and take Nick Young off your hands.
As long as you give me the first round pick,
that's why I keep throwing Nick Young in because I'm like Jim Buss. You throw the Nick Young cherry on top, he may be like, ooh, yeah, I do that, and I get rid of Nick Young too. Just having
that's
Nick
that,
Young,
as long as you give me the first round pick, that's it.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking for.
That's too much.
That's all I'm asking. But I'm giving you gold. I'm giving you gold, and you're giving me unknown prospects, nigga. I would be like, Jim, I am giving you a top five player, and I am taking back two knuckleheads and two unknowns.
I would just throw up
a first round pick that we don't even know about, Jim. I'm giving you gold, Jim. I'm going to make y'all irrelevant again.
Yeah, make him look like
can bring you guys superstars.
Go out like
rebuild.
You can be like James Dolan. We know you want to be like James Dolan.
You know you want to show up your sister Jeannie.
Yep.
Show that bitch you know what's going on.
Because that's a James Dolan move too. Oh, you need a first round pick too? That's all right. Here you go.
I don't mean to call Jeannie a bitch, but I would be like, look. I know you want to show up your sister, so let's make this happen.
Yeah, but we'll see how that go. All right, so moving on. I said my team got Pau Gasol. I'm gonna deal with. Let me just start with Tim Duncan first. I'm saving most of that for the. I'm not going all deep yet, but the noise award. But it's a change, man. I mean, we got Pau Gasol coming in now. You know, it comes at the right time since you're losing Tim. I'm cool with Pau Gasol. He still got some game on him. We need a defensive big now.
Because that ain't Pau.
No, that's all. That's why I wanted Duncan to come back and play defense. But, you know, he was like, it wasn't really that fun no more. And as he usually, I'm like, well, hey, you ain't got nothing to prove. When you was ready, you was ready. So, but yeah, I like the move. I mean,
it's a great fit. It's a seamless move. It's a seamless transition.
You feel like it could be Twin Towers 2.0 offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, no, not at all.
Awful.
Yeah, but I mean, won't be bad. But I mean, Pau Gasol on that team, is another passer. Popovich likes to tweak his offense. Maybe this will mean it may be a little more ball movement than there was last year. Maybe that happens.
Interesting, because now you don't have Duncan. You don't have Borja Diaw.
I know.
I'm curious as to who.
No Boban either. I'm like, we done lost a gang of bigs.
Boban, so I'm like, who's replacing who now?
I feel like Kyle Anderson's gonna
get some time.
I think Kyle Anderson's gonna get more run. It's his third year.
Mm-hmm.
He got a little more. I think Popovich will give him more run now. I'm hoping to see a little more Jonathan Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
John Simmons, nice. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the rookie to play much, but maybe he'll get some run early
on.
Pat
Mills.
Still need Patty Mills, man. Patty Mills needs to get a lot of burn. Him and Parker need this, huh?
The big off the bench.
Who's the big off the bench?
Yes.
Right now?
Bonner?
Well, they got who?
At Bonner?
Nah, he's a free agent. They got to go get one.
Damn. Because
they got the dude from Orlando, who's a young kid from Orlando, but I know he's going to want to get somebody else. I mean, that's it. Hey, yeah. You had to just probably got to make room.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I mean, we still in the mix. Yes, Golden State's going to be favored.
Of course they are. Right. They better win the championship.
We should still be number two. We'll see. We'll see. That leadership, man. You can't lose a guy like that and not have it not affect your team in some way.
Absolutely.
It's the Hall of Famer. I think it's going to be it's not so much even in the locker room, but just as a team, as a unit. You know, the leader is gone, and honestly, your best defensive big is gone. Like he's been your defensive anchor for 19 seasons. So your defense is gone. Your defense is going to take a hit too.
Yeah, so who's the leader of the team now? Is it Tony Parker?
Parker and Ginobili's still there. Ginobili got that for 1 year, $14 million. Treat him right.
A lot of money.
It is, because at first it was like, I heard 10. I was like, ah, that's not bad, like 14. Like, but he was looking. He was looking. So, I mean, look, 1 year, I think he may be the next one to go. I thought both of them would come back for a year. I could see Manu doing one more year. You know, 14. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's he trying to get a little raise too. They did Duncan. They let they made sure Duncan get all his money. They waived him, so he got paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they gonna do Ginobili. I mean, Ginobili $10 million was probably about what he could get on the market. Yeah. So I mean, they gave him a little few more. Like, here you go, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, D Wade may be like, how come I can't get that?
Oh, he got it. He got his money.
Yeah, he got it. Did you hear? I did read. I think I retweeted that. Some article was like trying to make some maybe out of nothing, but it was like, we've seen some, tweets and stuff that D-Wade sound like maybe he not sure about the decision. He ain't signed this deal yet.
They said he's probably not going to be announced till the end of July because I guess he's been traveling.
Well, you know how it is.
The Negro was just on TV talking about how he puts on his Chicago jersey all the time so he can get used to see how it feels. I mean, are you kidding me?
I just saw that. That was
he funny. Was announced as the Chicago Bulls guard Dwayne Wade at that freaking ESPYs. It's going down.
No, it is.
I mean, shit, get the fuck out of here. I'm so sick of people. Who is that? Chris Broussard? Howard Beck? Who is this? These sources are killing me.
It wasn't one of them. It was just somebody writing an article like, and just kind of threw that spin on there. I was like, oh, that's funny.
God, of course. Trying to reach for nothing, as usual. I mean, if nothing else, it's going to be an interesting season in Chicago. D Wade. Rondo and Jimmy Butler.
And then Rondo trying to say all the right thing. Like, it's Jimmy Butler team.
I mean, he's done all the right things so far. He said it's Jimmy Butler's team. He said he's going to buy into where he likes Hardberg's offense. He's been at the summer league games talking to the young guys. So he's doing all the right things and saying all the right things so far. But we got to wait to see how it transitions onto the court. I mean, I'm hoping that D-Wade can bring a sense of leadership that we're losing with Joakim Noah and with Pau Gasol, and he can kind of, take Jimmy Butler under his wing to an extent. They were both teammates back in Marquette. So I think that's going to be a little comforting for both of them to be able to play together again. You know, Rondo is a guy who, for all his downfalls, he did lead the league in assists last year. I mean, on a terrible Sacramento team, but, nonetheless, the man still can play.
Yeah, he's a good setup, man.
Yeah, he's still a good guy who can run the offense and everything. It's interesting. I mean, because you do have three guys who have proven to need the ball in their hands, but have also proven to be able to be playmakers for each other and for other guys on their own team. So I think it's going to be an interesting mix. It's going to be an interesting mix of personalities, that's for sure. But I just, I'm curious to see how this goes. They added Denzel Valentine in the draft. Bobby Portis is going to get some more time. You still got Meritage, still got Taj Gibson, so they still got a nice little set of players.
Yeah.
So we'll see how everything rolls out. I think they'll be a little bit better than they were last year. I think they'll make the playoffs this year.
They should.
They should. I'm pretty sure they will. I don't see D Wade not making the playoffs.
Nah.
Especially back in his hometown.
Yeah, it's a lot of competition. Yeah, my only thing with that, all three of these guys have been used to playing with the ball in their hands, which I know that's going to be interesting when you got actually three guys who are used to it. But
again, I bring up the point that Jimmy Butler did play with Derrick Rose, who is a ball-dominant point guard. Rajon Rondo loves to pass.
Yes. That's one of Rajon Rondo's best skills. He is a great passer.
So
you hope they can. Yeah, and I don't think Wade's played with the guy who's a passer like this either. So, you know, there is hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, Robin Lopez is known as a defensive center.
Mm-hmm. Robin Lopez is solid.
He's solid. He can do the little things. He does the little things to help your team out. Hopefully, Miritich can stretch the floor. I mean, that's probably going to be the biggest issue is the lack of three-point shooting in our backcourt.
Yeah.
It ain't none.
No, it's not.
I mean, you got Miritich. You got Doug McDermott, you know, who can stretch the floor. They got some other dudes. So, I mean, they got guys who can stretch the floor, but that starting five, oof.
Yeah.
Mid-range game all day, baby. Mid-range all day.
Yeah. Speaking of guys loving to shoot, James Harden signed a 4-year, $118 million extension with the Rockets. And talking a little trash. No, we ain't what no super team. Basically, I guess he just took a little jab at Golden State.
You were no all right about team. That,
we
sir.
Trying to be, I guess. Look, they paid him. They got a new coach.
You're an injury prone team.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
They paying them because they're going to be exciting and sell tickets.
Playing no defense.
Well, defense is not going to be their strongest one. They will probably be in the 20s in defense.
Low 20s.
probably a top. I wouldn't be probably a top five offensive team.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably be a top five offensive team and a bottom five defensive team.
Yeah. They just struggle defensively.
And they go chucking up threes for days.
Yeah, and I'm James Harden. I mean, it's honestly for them, I guess it's good that they locked him up now. Ain't no issue. Mm-hmm. And maybe he know the lockout coming. Like, hey, y'all doing extensions? I want to make sure I got my money now. In case y'all trip and be like, oh, we going to be on lock for a minute. Like, oof. Nope. Make sure mine here. Just in case y'all change ish and everything get cheaper, give it to me.
I'm getting my rich me now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what Adam Silver, man. He already talking, said he didn't like said super teams aren't good for the league. But you know, usually there's like how many teams would you call super? Like we always, yeah, like yes, we don't like super teams, but Miami was the only one supposedly at that time.
Well, I think you would consider Golden State.
Yes.
You would consider Cleveland.
No, I wouldn't. Now, I don't know if I call them a super team. I don't know about it. Yes, in a sense, but.
I guess when they were first put together, everybody considered them a super team.
Well, it's having three all-stars.
Three stars.
Yeah.
Which I've never been a fan of anyway.
Yeah, you got three people in top five in a position.
Never been a fan of that. It's awful.
Yeah, it just happens if you have it.
It's just because it's like a competition, man. I hate that.
I mean, can we say, you know, but Oklahoma City had it at one point. They needed to trade one in order for him to be in that position.
Oklahoma City drafted both of those guys.
He drafted all three
that's
of
the
them.
Difference.
Yeah, well, people don't feel bad.
Difference.
Yeah, that's when it's like,
I mean,
well.
Same thing with Golden State. That's why people didn't, I mean. Because they drafted everybody, basically. They had pieces here and there. For the most part, everybody was drafted from that team.
Mm-hmm. It always feels better that way. When you're like, that's, oh, well, these all these drafted, then it's okay.
Exactly. That's why Kevin Durant was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, but what happened if Boston, what happened if, like, say Boston get Kevin Durant, and then they trade for, like, I don't know, some other top guard or
probably would have gone after Butler, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, if they get Kevin Durant and then all of a sudden, then are they a super team? Because now Kevin Durant, Al Horford, and you get You're like, well, if you sign Kevin and you still got all them trade pieces and you trade for, I don't know. You trade for something, you just like, we killing. And then it'd be like, oh, it's another super team.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what everybody was, that's what we were all getting hype about with Boston. You're like, Boston can, they got enough pieces, they're about to get like three all-stars.
Well, I just said they got enough pieces to get a superstar player. I've never been like, well, Boston need to get three of them. I'm like, nah, they can get one superstar, and they, you know, you build around that.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's always just like what's just coming in there. But yeah, he said it's not, you know, said there may be some things changing so it doesn't happen. I mean, my issue with that is, you know, you got like one of these in my, what the fuck, with the luxury tax. But I mean, teams, you put that in there for a reason. The last person you really saw pay like that was the owner from the former owner of the Nets.
Yeah.
I think it was Porkeroff, when he paid like,
oof.
Yeah, he paid like what, 80 something, I think that 1 year. Then the year after, he paid like a, I don't even know if it was 200 or it was 120.
I think it was like 100 something.
Yeah, and you were like, damn.
Ain't and, doing that again.
Right, you like, but that's, and that's what it's supposed to do. Like, if you want
to do
that.
Didn't he end up selling the team?
He sold a portion of it, yeah. It just, cause that, I mean, that. Yeah, because that happens. Like, you, people can say, oh, well, they got that money. I'm like, yeah, the Lakers may pay that the first year. You know, like, okay, we only paying, we got to pay like $80 million. Oh, okay, we got that. We roll. After the second season, when they pay like $160 million.
Mm, them pockets taking hits.
Yeah, then you may be like, ooh, we may need to make a move.
We need to get some revenue back.
Mm-hmm. That's when then they start trying to change stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I don't like it because it was like Durant been there 9 years. This is, and this is how you have it set up. You sign a rookie. If he's all, by the time he finishes his almost his rookie deal, if he's in his third year and he's good, you're gonna extend him to the full 4 years.
He has a choice.
Right now, after that fourth year, he has a choice to sign the extension or sign a 1 year deal.
Thank you. Which I'm a proponent of, and now, I'm like, now, I think more dudes should do it.
But now, see, you had the thing where you got to, okay, are you going to sign the extension now? No, I'm going to just wait and be a restricted free agent. Okay, you restricted free agent, and you're, like we've been looking, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, and you know, he took the extension, Damian Lillard. All them dudes took that extension or signed a restricted free agency contract.
I think basically Kyrie did too, didn't he?
He signed the extension. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you're a restricted free agent, teams aren't throwing money at you because they're like, your team gonna match it.
Unless you're Chandler Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird. But most of the time, you know, you, like the situation with Tristan Thompson or Eric Bledsoe, like you just sit. I mean, unless you're, if you're like Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, you get in the contract the first day or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like you getting, let's not, we trying to sign you. We ain't even waiting on what the market says. You deserve the max a restricted free agent can get. Sign him to that. Mm-hmm. Four years, that's what it is for. You know, but basically you put the team 8-9 years. You've played well. The team has been close. Maybe second round-ish. Not really further than that. Maybe you hit the second round. Or, you know, it's just, you've been okay. Now you can be a free agent. You turn 16. Oh, you know what? I ain't been a free agent yet. I've been in the league 8 years. I want to know what free agency is like. I'm going to be a free agent. Man, I can't be mad after that if he's like, you know what? I like they pitch better. I like their situation better. I'm leaving.
And nobody's mad at it.
Right. Now, I mean,
the only person we were mad at is Kevin Durant.
Right. Now, if he's trying to say stuff like that shouldn't happen and we shouldn't make it, you know, because he made it sound like, wait a minute, you're going to
make stricter rules.
Yeah, let the players don't have that kind of power. So, like, now you're going to, you know, I've heard somebody suggest. A couple people I've heard it. Jay Williams from ESPN suggested like a franchise tag or something. Now I'm like, dude, if you've been in the league 8-9 years and you want the ability to leave, at some point you want to be able to leave on your own.
See, and, but that's why there's a collective bargaining agreement. If you're going to hit me with a fucking franchise tag, you need to get rid of restricted free agency.
Yes. Right.
And if that's the case, just let me be fucking unrestricted.
Right. Now, I would agree with that. Because that's hindering things.
Like, and I think if you're going to add a franchise tag, football rules should apply, which do not allow you to franchise guy 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Then it's like, do you just have that one tag or you can just keep a guy? It's just, I get that it keeps the guy with the team. Mm-hmm. But if most great players, you know, most all-star and above players, more than likely, if you don't trade them, if you've like actually drafted the dude, you're mm-hmm. probably going to have him for about a good 8 years. For a good half of his career, he's going to be there. And I don't want this like, oh, well, now we can keep him an extra three on some like we got the upper hand thing. Like, dude, come on. Like, I chose not to be afraid, and I read up. Just fun thing how with Kevin Durant and his tweet about everybody want to go to the Lakers in New York. That's because you signed an extension and you were like, nah, I want to be here. I'm showing you that I'm loyal. Like, well, you loyal then because everything was gravy. You know, now 4 years later, you ain't won a championship yet. You know, after you win the MVP, you get hurt. All of a sudden now, you not the second best player in the league anymore. Well, maybe now we have doubt. You know, what's going to happen now? After that, you're like, you know what? I'm going to have to do what I got to do.
Well, I mean, I'm sure most people bring it up, and Adam Silver works for the owners.
Yeah. And I was,
and the owners want parity. Owners want, you know, all teams to be good because that makes more money for them. It's like somebody put it. It was like, dude, if you got two super teams, who gives a shit if nobody's going to watch the other teams play? Why the hell would I sit down and watch a Toronto, you know, OKC game? For what?
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, fans like us, yeah, we'll watch. But I'm talking about like your average fans, they're not going to give a shit anymore. All they're going to want to see is Golden State or Cleveland. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it does screw up the league to an extent. But you're like, well, these teams aren't as appealing anymore. Let's just focus on these two. It's like, oh, my God. Well, then for most people, they're like, well, shit, I'll just wait till the finals end.
Yeah.
These two teams are going to get here anyway.
Yeah, no, that's real. On that end, it would feel like people aren't going to pay attention to the regular season or any of that. Because they're going to be like, why do I need you
with these, like, three superstar type teams. That's my gripe with them is that it's like, well, it takes attention away from all the other teams. I'm like, so you got no superstars on, but nothing but three, four teams. Well, then the other teams don't freaking matter. And it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be. And you know, like you got to see how the game gets played out. Cause you don't know. I mean, San Antonio was still in the mix. People thought they was. I did. You know, but Kevin Durant, so you had five teams I thought that could literally win the championship. It's just four of them was in the West.
Yeah, and that's not to say, like, we don't have sorry teams who are just, you know, who are irrelevant. Of course, that's every sport. But I'm talking about we at least have, like, 8-9 teams in each conference that are competitive, and you're like, ooh, I want to watch this. Ooh, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Not where it's like, shit, if two teams on that side and two teams on that side are good, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they just need to each need to draft better.
Yeah, period.
But I will say, last thing before we had to break, league did decide to make a change on the off-the-ball fouls.
Yes.
And I did suggest this, I believe, at some point. So, but I'm just glad I'm cool with the rule. They decided now to, instead of having the intentional foul where you get one shot in the ball after under 2 minutes, extended it from the fourth quarter and overtime to now all the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I was like, oh, I like that.
Which is fine. You can't hack a Shaq in the last 2 minutes. Fine.
Yeah, every quarter. You know, yeah.
I'll just do it until the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, and that's fine. Because, like, when it becomes time, you know, the last 2 minutes is what you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, people, I don't want to do it as often.
Yeah.
Cool. But, yeah, man, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, do a quick check around the sports world, and then get into our segments. Y'all listening to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
sure to check us out on blackisonline.com.
Y'all, we're back. Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
So if y'all want to talk some NBA, any kind of sports with us, what you thinking about Kevin Durant, Golden State, you with it? You feeling some kind of way? I know Spirit, that's not his boy. However, he a little salty.
Son of a boy!
And that's all right. If y'all want to talk about any of that, hit us up on Twitter at Brothers Layman. Email thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Voicemail 323-455-4219. Or on the website, blackisonline.com.
Yeah, for all of y'all who are ready for fantasy football, hey, start tuning in because we're going to start getting into the NFL season for sure.
Man. I got to start doing my mock draft, starting to get ready, do the research.
Ah, yes. I'm going to do my huge kick butt again.
All right, man. So, since we head that way, NFL, let's talk about your boy. I mean, a couple weeks, two episodes ago, you was feeling good. Everything was all gravy.
Mm-hmm.
However, now it's like, uh-oh. It's things are getting questionable. You're getting up to the wire.
I have said since the end of the freaking Super Bowl, deal's going to get done. I knew it was going to come down to the last few days. I knew it was going to happen because it happens every time with John Elway. That's why I'm like, I was not shocked. So, Vaughn's going to get his money. We're going to keep – it was pure as day.
It was worked out. They did lowball him. At first,
they lowballed him with the guarantees.
Yeah.
They agreed on the totality of the money, but it was the guarantees right. That were holding up the deal.
Which, like that.
Which, understandable. Yeah. Duh, yeah.
And so now, reportedly, which I think his agent and all them did it to kind of put a little pressure on Von Miller beforehand, sources said Broncos have offered Von Miller a 6-year, $114.5 million deal with a record $70 million guaranteed.
Show me the money.
Get your paper, Von Miller. If you're gonna sign it, at this point,
I'm pretty damn sure he's gonna sign it at this point. It'll be the highest guarantees for a non-quarterback. Only Andrew Luck is getting more. I mean, at this point, he's going to get his money. I mean, he in a sense, single-handedly, wrecked Carolina Super Bowl.
I mean, that dude.
The man was a beast throughout the entire playoffs. And, I mean, on the pace he's going so far, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And yep. The thing is that people don't forget that they don't talk about much. He's only been in the league 4 years, 4 or 5 years. That's it.
Yeah, drafted right.
He's in the prime of his career.
The number two pick right behind Cam Newton.
I mean, come on.
Who
John
he
Elway.
Beat in the Super Bowl.
And it was very close because they thought about drafting Marcell Dareus. And he ended up going to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But, either one would have been great, but clearly Von Miller was the better pick.
Yes. I mean, I would expect by this time the show come out and you hear that he would have signed it. I'm like... I mean, look, this is what we always said, and you said last year, all these big players come up to the deadline.
Yep. All of them do.
Because he's like, he said it, I'm not playing.
And I wasn't mad at him for that.
No.
Because I'm like, when I initially saw their first offer and it was like 30-something million, I'm like, well, I ain't signing that if I'm Von Miller.
Right.
Come on. But that's why I was like, it's negotiation. That's what you do. You don't give them your highest offer. I'm like, this is probably the highest offer they had in mind. If it got to this
well,
point.
Sure, I think they probably had it around
well, yeah, they
low
probably
60s. I thought probably high 50s, low 60s.
And then Fletcher Cox happened.
Yeah, and you were like, I know you were like, God damn it. Thanks, man.
Because I knew they were going to be like, well, back to the drawing board. Let's figure out how we gonna do this now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I wasn't mad at him for putting Emmanuel Sanders' contract on the back burner. Even he was like, "Look, they got to take care of Vaughn." So
and
the Broncos players know that. They all know Von Miller is that good, and what's gonna make the team even better and scarier next year is that they got a second year underway Phillips system. They don't have to think as much anymore. They can just play and react.
No, they're gonna be scary.
Dangerous.
No.
And now without the contract looming over Vaughn's head, he can just play, dude.
Yep. Go out there, man. Cause look, I mean, this is what we all gonna say when we hear that, when we saw that.
Take it, fool. Turn down that good money.
Gotta take it. Gotta take it.
You don't want it. I will sign that shit.
Yep. You need to put Instagram your picture of you signing it with John Elway. Yep. Shaking John Elway's hand like everything's gravy again. See, we got a picture with each other. Everything is good.
It happens, dude. Yeah. I mean, negotiations. I mean, look, even somebody – I read some tweet that put it very nicely, and it was like Von Miller was very naive to think negotiations were just going to be completely peaceful.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's not it's never completely peaceful.
No.
So you go. I mean, as you saw with the crop photo that you talked about, and you're what the fuck? It got personal.
Yeah, he took it that way.
And you know, they had to work some things out. I give kudos to John Elway for manning up and calling Von Miller and talking to him and having a man to man chat. Like, look, we need to get this done. Let's put our personal issues aside and let's do what's best for this organization.
Yeah,
you know, no, whatever the case may be. So I'm down for that. You know, John Elway is a hard ass, man. He plays hardball, so. But, you know, as long as, I mean, Vaughn getting paid, so he got what he wanted. Both sides getting what they want, that's all that matter.
Yeah, that's all that matter.
Ready for the season.
Yeah, I know Ravens kicker Justin Tucker, he feeling some kind of way. Put out there, he and his agent confirmed it. He said he will not resign with the team if not given a long-term deal. Like,
better sign
snap.
You by the deadline, baby.
Yeah, you better do something.
I heard they offering him, like, they said they were offering him, like, less than Mason Crosby. Was like 4 years, 16. And it is kind of low because I'm like, well, they said, I guess he's like the second most accurate kicker in NFL history. I'm like, well, pay that fool. Make him the highest paid kicker. Why is that so hard?
Yeah, no, I don't get it.
I don't get it. I don't know.
When you got dudes who feel like they top five and they at their spot, they're like, bro, show me that money.
Easily is, because I pick him every year in fantasy football because he's money.
Yeah. And I don't know if you had this for your awards, but federal courts denied Tom Brady's appeal for this whole Deflategate situation. But come on. Can we?
Glad it's over.
Dude, just please.
3-4 games, so stop talking about
it. Straight up. And I'm going to be, you know what, if he wants to, he should not take this to the Supreme Court, but he might. And with everything that's going on, that's been going on in this damn year alone and all this crap, they better be like, you know what? No, we're not hearing this damn case. This is stupid.
This ain't worth the taxpayers' money.
No, over a deflated ball. This ain't over no steroids, no PEDs. This is over a damn ball that didn't matter because it's once they took it away, you scored 4 touchdowns in the second half and blew them out. It didn't matter. You cheated. Like, when you cheated, you couldn't score. When we gave you a regulation ball, you started balling and you killed them. The ball had nothing to do with you winning the damn game.
Oh, man. So I'm just like, Tom Brady, serve the damn 4 games so we can really stop talking about play game.
Yeah, you can put deny it. Yeah, you can stay in your stunt, in your spot.
Yes.
Be like, bro, I'm not agreeing with this whatsoever. I think it's bullshit. I didn't do nothing.
I mean, Tom Brady, as a black man, I can tell you there have been plenty of times where black men didn't do nothing and they still got punished.
Yep.
It happened, sir.
Yep.
Just take the punishment.
Right. You just got to be like, look.
Just deal.
It's not going away. Mm-mm. 4 games. And you just been like,
you can
all
make
right.
it go away by just serving a damn suspension.
Yeah, you got away with it for a while. But it's just. Dude, it happened to what? It happened a whole season ago. 2 seasons.
two seasons ago.
You won the Super Bowl, and that whole thing been going on all season. It's like, come on. Like, just look, just damn. especially with him being older and the sport he plays in, he really needs to just be like, you know what? It's bullshit. I can use these 4 days. I will accept it. Fine, I'll take the four games. You know what? I'm not happy about it at all, but I believe in my team, and for sure, come week five, I'm gunning.
And I'm picking Tom Brady for fantasy. Thank you.
And you just, you know what? You just, you know, maybe you get a little more preseason snaps, mm-hmm. and then he's like, all right, we'll keep you fresh. I forgot who the backup is over there.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, yeah. And then come week five, there is going to be no, well, Jimmy Garoppolo's been playing with Tom Brady's back. I'll get him in. Unless Jimmy Garoppolo would have to basically be Tom Brady.
Even if he is Tom Brady.
His first four games, this fool putting up, they offense is scoring 40 points the first four games. Should they take him out? It's Tom Brady. Take him out.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's Tom Brady. Yeah,
this is not Peyton Manning. Well, Peyton Manning ain't been playing well and blah, blah, blah. They're going to be like, who wants to come in? Oh, the starter, Tom Brady?
Well, you saw, even as bad as Peyton was playing, they still rolled with Peyton when he was healthy.
Through four games, Garoppolo has thrown 30 touchdowns. What they going to do?
Tom Brady,
come back.
Tom,
come
on. Ready? Back. You ready? Go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for doing your job, bro. You did your job well. All right, sit down.
And then Jimmy Garoppolo, but you know, like, it's going to be them. Right. I'm getting paid.
Yeah, now that's the question I'd love to hear for Skip Bayless. Because Skip Bayless would be like, let the dude play. They hot. Like, it's Tom Brady.
Jimmy Garoppolo come out, and they come out 4-0.
Like, dominant 4-0. Like, Golden State Warriors dominant 4-0. Like, oh. Mm-hmm. You ready, Tom Brady? All right, come on in.
I got to roll with Tom.
Yeah.
I know there's people going to be out there who be like, roll with the, you know, stick with the kid, but I'm sorry. The man got you, what, four chips?
Nope. What you going to tell Tom Brady? Tom Brady, you know, we thinking about he hot. We want to keep him in. He going to be like,
now you don't want me to get ugly.
No, sir.
Like, yes, Tom Brady. You can come back in.
Exactly. Whatever you say, sir.
Oh, man. Moving on to some champions. Shout out. She deserves a Norse Award anyway. Serena Williams wins her seventh Wimbledon title, 22nd Grand Slam.
And she's whack still, of course, right?
Right.
She's whack. Get the fuck out of here. She's the best female tennis player I've ever seen. Get out of here, folks. Get out of here. And as far as I'm concerned, she come on, man. I don't know tennis to that extent. Like, I know basketball, football, some of these other sports. So I cannot definitively say she's the greatest. She's the greatest I have ever seen. I don't know about Billie Jean King, Richard. You know, there are a lot of slew of other female tennis players.
Sharapova, who have been fantastic. I think she's one behind tying her Grand Slam record.
Wonderful, excellent female tennis players, but Serena is the best I have seen with my eyes. Man, that I have seen.
The way Serena playing, she gonna go down the argument of best tennis player ever. I mean, the way she keeps playing, man or woman, just kicking ass.
Noise. Right on. Noise.
In Wimbledon, Andy Murray won his second career Wimbledon title. Like, all right, Andy Murray.
Go ahead. He's another one. He's just like, he gets so close sometimes, and then he can't finish it. So I'm happy for the man.
Yeah. We had the American. See, I didn't even watch the All-Star game and all that for Major League Baseball. I didn't have time, but I saw the American League won 4-2. Feel like they always win.
Yes, thank you. Chris Sale from the White Sox started. Thank you, folks. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just saying. My White Sox, baby. Let's go. I'm still on the bandwagon. I got hope.
Yeah, because last time we talked about them, they was leading division. Now they 7 behind.
Yeah, we're in a tight race in the division. I know the freaking Indians got hot. and they just started rolling, man. So we're in the thick of things. I think we're third, I want to say.
You're tied for third behind Kansas City.
Yeah, so with Detroit. So, and I mean,
got, what, two? There's two wild card spots.
We got time to catch up. We've been getting back into the groove lately, been winning some series. So I'm excited for this end. Let's go. Just get in the playoffs. That's all I want. Just get in there.
Yeah, it just done. Ugh, cause I didn't notice Toronto is third just because of percentage, but they got 50. Yeah, y'all going to need a nice little push second half.
Need a run, yeah. Need a nice run.
But, yeah, I mean, so it looks like Baltimore's in the lead, Cleveland, Texas. Yeah, right now. So, yeah.
City of Cleveland buzzing right now, boy.
Mm-hmm. You know they are. They're like, it's just magic right now.
Don't let the Cleveland Browns get off to a good start.
Oh, shit. The Indians actually go to the world. Oh my God! They're gonna be like,
my God.
It's the city of Cleveland. Jesus is hooking us up.
Browns, you are next, baby. RG3 leading us to the promised land.
Yeah. All of a sudden, they're gonna start off thinking 6-2. Like, oh snap! They're gonna win the division.
Win the division? You're like, son of a bitch. What the?
What is in this water out here?
Oh, that's
funny.
Speaking
of crazy stuff, I saw, and I need to go back and watch this, the home run derby. Giancarlo Stanton won it with a record 61 home runs. Lord have mercy.
61 home runs?
Yep.
Wait, this is split up between the rounds, correct?
Yeah, it's split up. I didn't get into the final round. He had 20.
God damn.
Tops Bobby Abreu's record in 2005 of 41.
Ain't that the cat from the Marlins?
Yeah.
In the face. I remember that. Hey, that's a nice comeback story for him. Good for him. Awesome. And he signed that massive contract. It was like 9 years or something. Oof.
He getting that paper, man.
That cash, baby.
Speaking of cash, before we head into the 5 minutes, I saw the UFC, which I watch a little bit. Just had the UFC 200, which was disappointing. They sold that to an investor for $4 billion.
Show me the money.
Man, that's crazy.
Dana White is swimming in it right now. He's rubbing the Benjamins all over his body right now. I'm scrubbing my face with it.
Man, because they were just talking about all that time when, you know, fools didn't want it, and then they stayed and they thought it was too violent. And it's like this.
Because that was how many years ago?
That was
a while back.
That was a while back. More than 10 years, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe so. And it just started growing. It just out of nowhere, dude. It just started growing.
Well, they marketed it right. I mean, it's marketed well. Yeah. I mean, the guys, you know, it's quick. It's not long, you know, basically for guy, you know, and you do what you need to do.
And let's be real. Americans, we love violence. We love violent sports.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, sometimes no matter how good you are, you know, a guy catches you right in the face with a nice punch or kick, get you on the ground, that's it.
Yeah.
You could be killing him. All of a sudden you make a mistake, he gets your arm wrapped up, tap out, that's it.
You can be Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, some of these guys who just came and went.
Don't matter. That's what makes it exciting.
And I know some dudes who love them, some USC. They follow it. They know all the fighters, man, and everything. And I'm like, I don't know five of them.
Yeah, and the funny thing is they say this is not – UFC is not the only MMA league.
But
you dominated to the point where that's just – you are the sport.
That's all people know.
Yeah. That's – man.
Where it came from to sell for $4 billion – That's awesome.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. You're doing it right. Sports gonna come up.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So let's get into these segments. Starting off with yours, 5 minutes with Grandpa.
Alrighty. For my 5 minutes, I'm gonna dive into the emotional roller coaster that was the ESPYs last night. And, man, was that thing an emotional roller coaster. I mean, first of all, it's starting off with LeBron and Melo, D-Wade, CP3. making their statement about, you know, the tragedies that have been going on in America and the need for athletes to take a stand, you know, and just be more educated on what's going on and help their communities. I mean, it started off a great way. And then, I mean, it really started hitting emotions that I think were bottled up in a lot of people. Because, I mean, just looking at, you know, I follow everything on Twitter half the time, and a lot of people were just like, I am so emotional right now, I'm crying and all this and that, you know, and just seeing some of these stories. This kid, Zavion Dobson, the young man who basically gave his life up to save two young ladies. Just really, I mean, that had me in tears when I was watching the story. His mother is, and his brother's coming up, and his mom speaking on the gun violence that's been going on and how it needs to stop, how she's been doing what she can do to help make a change, you know, and that really, you know, that hit me hard. And to see this young kid, 15 years old, you know, willing to give up his life to save the life of two, you know, young black ladies. And in all honesty, the way the story was told of this young man, they could have been white, they could have been Asian, it really didn't matter. He just wanted to protect these two innocent lives. And that really just moved me very, very, very much. And I really pray for that man's family, that young man's family. And, you know, seeing more stories about Eric Berry and his strive and over his disease of cancer and how he was able to come back and play again in the NFL, and, you know, seeing Craig Sager's story and what he's been going through with his leukemia and his battles. And they showed him, you know, in the morning going to get chemo and then that afternoon flying down to go be at a game. And you're just like, man, like everything was just hitting constantly. Then you had the singer Andre Day, who did a nice performance when they were going through all the memorials for all the athletes that have passed away throughout the past year. I mean, that hit emotions. Then you had the whole the Icon Award, you know, given to Peyton Manning, to Kobe Bryant, to Aidan Wombat, and then they had a whole video of people of so many different races just expressing how much these three players meant to them. And, you know, just being that legendary figure and somebody that everybody can look up to, being professional, you know, giving your all, so many traits and so many morals that they can teach, you know, everybody, not just young kids, but adults as well, and how to conduct yourself and how to really live and, you know, take every day, you know, and do the best you can at it. And then to end the whole thing, you had Chance the Rapper, you know, he sang a song and gave a nice memorial to an extent for Muhammad Ali. And I mean the whole show was just an emotional roller coaster of all emotions, from laughter, you know, even little bits of anger, hearing about, you know, what's been going on, and tears of sadness, tears of joy for these people. I mean, just emotions all over the place. It was really a well done ESPYs, one of the best I have seen. And I'm really praying to God that with everything that's been going on, you know, Obama addressed an audience tonight. They had that on ESPN. I watched bits of that as well. It's just, there's so much going on, and what I can appreciate is that we're finally, it seems like we're finally starting to get some dialogue going. I mean, everybody can see what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows it's wrong. And that is, to me, the stepping stone to making some sort of change. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take many, many years to fix. You know, our children's children probably won't even see it happen. But as long as we're having open dialogue about it, there's going to be uncomfortable conversations. There has to be, for there to be any progress, there has to be uncomfortable conversation. There has to be the ability to say what you people are doing is not right. And people are going to say there are people who probably like things the way they are, and people who are racist out there in the world who don't want things to change. But I think if there are enough people who want things to change, if there are enough people who really truly do want to strive for to make things different and make things equal for everyone, it can happen. But we have to have that first open conversation. And I'm hoping that this is opening that door for everybody to say, hold up. This could be my kid. This could be my dad. This could be my brother, whoever it could be, my best friend, whoever. This could have been them, whether it was the shooter or the victim. It could have been either. And we need to eliminate all of that. We need to get rid of that. We shouldn't be retaliating against police. We shouldn't be killing cops. Cops shouldn't be killing young men. And it ain't just black men. And Obama made I'm going to leave it at this. Obama made a very good point tonight that I think people have been trying to get across to everybody for the longest, which is Black Lives Matter is not specifically just for black lives alone. And it doesn't mean that black lives are the only lives that matter. All, and, you know, because he mentioned that there's these, you know, all lives matter and blue lives matter. And it's like, we know that. We know every single life out there matters. We know white lives matter. We know Asian lives matter. We know Hispanic lives matter. We know Jewish lives matter. We know Muslim lives matter. We know lives matter for everybody. We know gay lives matter. We know life matters for everybody. Doesn't matter what you are. But black people have gone through such tragedies and unfair hardships for so many years, and it seems like everybody's had, I don't want to say their turn, or people have had, you know, their situations of hardship, but it seems like black people's have never ended. It's always been constant. It's always been going. You know, at least it seems like for some other ethnicities and races, things have stopped to an extent. For black folks, it seems like it never ends. And, you know, we know that all lives matter. It's not that black lives are more important than any other lives, but it's that we have suffered a lot more than probably most other lives out there. And we got to stop that. It's got to stop. And progress has to be made, and hopefully at this point in time in this year 2016, with all the lives that have been lost from, you know, not even the cop killings, you know, we lost, you know, some of the greatest icons in history, Prince, Muhammad Ali, you know, a lot of these guys, Pat Summitt, just so many people who have really paved the way and were just great, wholesome people who wanted equal things for everybody, who preached about, you know, just being one, being united. Let's all do this together. So I think hopefully we can start having conversations and move this thing in the right direction. Sorry, it took about 10 minutes there, but
Nah, it needs to be said, but yeah, hopefully all of us can do our parts to just, you know, make small steps to make, you know, change. It's going to take a lot. It's not going to be fixed quickly. Just because we have a conversation don't mean everybody going to be good. Exactly. It's going to take a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, as in the next generation is going to have to carry it over. You know, it's been going on for too long. I think for black people, we are the ones with the burden of opening doors. It feels like we have to be the ones to knock down the door first so that every other minority has that opportunity. Yeah. That's just what it feels like. I mean, yeah, like you said, like, do we feel like our lives matter more? No. It partially feels like our lives matter the least.
Exactly.
And we're like, bro, like, we're not saying we better than y'all, but we ain't shit.
Exactly.
Like, come on.
And Paul Mooney, man, it was funny in jokes, but when he said that line, everybody want to be a nigga, but nobody want to be a nigga, that really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true.
It's a funny joke with some real truth in it.
You want to be able to, you know, say, I guess you want to call it black slang, or, you know, dress a certain way, listen to the music, listen to all this stuff. But when the shit hits the fan, kind of pushes to the wayside.
It's basically you love
everything about us.
You love everything that we're able to do and what we're able to create. But as except people, y'all hate us.
Yep.
Like, okay. Yeah, so hopefully things get better. No, that was a good one, man. I gotta have to watch some of that. I did see the part where the NBA players were speaking. I was like, wow, okay.
That was just the opening.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I mean, I saw Melo had mentioned it. Like, he felt like something needed to be said. And he said he didn't know what specifically needed to be done. But he was like, we can do more.
Yeah,
and use our platform to do more to help influence our communities, you know, help, you know, bridge some gaps.
And I'm glad it was said on the stage it was, so that it was viewed by millions.
Right. Said to everybody and said to, speaking out to other athletes.
Exactly. Everybody in the audience, yeah, man.
Like, nobody's saying, you know, you got to be Muhammad Ali, but you see what Muhammad Ali did. And some other players like them, you know.
And I mean,
things was bad. You gotta use your platform to say something.
And I know it doesn't. It's not. They don't necessarily have to.
No.
But it would be nice to see like a Peyton Manning to speak on it. You know, it'd be nice to see some of these white athletes. You know, even some of these Hispanic athletes. You know, really, really, truly speak on what's going on.
Yeah, and try to, you know, say something. I mean, look, these are your kids is coming up in this world. Your money, while very helpful, it makes their ability to, to see a lot of stuff and exposure and maybe making their path a little easier.
Yeah,
the money's not going to shield you from everything.
It's like I said on Hoopla, like how as a mixed family, how do you explain that to your kid?
Yeah,
you know that
your kid seeing this,
that, you know, daddy might be African American. How come the people like mommy don't like daddy?
Yeah,
I mean, it's how do you?
I mean, between, I mean, damn, look at like the last four or five incidents between the shooting at the gay nightclub in Orlando. Yeah,
you had the white kid in Fresno.
Yep.
They released his videotape. He got shot.
Yeah, and you got the back-to-back, you know, killing of unarmed black men by cops.
Then
you
and then
got retaliation shooting, you know, a department who, you know,
who wasn't involved.
Well, you shot a department that's actually one of the few
trying
that's actually
help.
Trying.
Yeah.
Like, you actually shot one of the good ones.
Exactly. And,
then, and
that's why it's got to stop.
Yeah, and then this crap over in France with the...
Oh, with the truck.
I mean, like, it's crazy.
It's everywhere.
And if we want to reduce this stuff, you know, hopefully try to stop it, eliminate it, but at least prevent a lot more of it from happening, we got to talk and make a better effort.
Exactly.
Stop trying to be scared. It's bigger than all of us.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, let's give some people some shout outs.
So all right.
Get to these, in these Norse Awards.
Norse.
Norse! All right, what you got?
All right, so my first Norse Award is going out to Damian Lillard. That's my boy. So first of all, Damian Lillard is hosting a summer camp. And he did a nice little thing by letting a kid in when the camp was full. Now, the mom, I guess, was trying to gather money and everything, and she missed the deadline to pay the dues and all that. So she direct messaged Damian Lillard on Instagram, and he actually did respond to her and asked her for her contact information. She said a couple hours later she got an email response saying, you know, Damian Lillard would love your son Kiefer to come. We got you into the camp. And then I guess she said she contacted somebody to try to set up payment, and the person was like, oh, Damian Lillard already took care of it. Don't worry. And I thought, I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, went ahead and paid for a young man who, I guess they said the young man went to his camp the previous year.
Okay.
And it was his birthday, and that's and for his birthday he wanted to go back to the camp, but you know they had a little botch, and Damian Lillard made it happen for him. So I was like, oh, that's a cool little deal.
He actually built a bond with the kid and knows who the kid is, what he's about, and circumstance. So now that's cool.
And then I'm gonna give another noise to Michael Bennett. Since we're speaking about summer camps, he hosts a free summer camp in Oahu, in Hawaii.
Mm, okay.
Said I guess that's where he's from. That's where he grew up. And he said he wishes more players would do the same. He said, and I quote, "I see a lot of different athletes come through Hawaii, whether it's Steph Curry or whoever it is. They all come here, and it makes me mad because I live in this community and I understand this community. That there's so many kids who can't afford to pay such high amount of money. In my mind, it's like, how much money do you need before you start giving back for free? I think a lot of athletes should start focusing on that." And it just made me think, and I was like, huh, interesting. So I guess he was just kind of like, dude, I'm sick of all these people charging out the ass for these kids who cannot afford to go to summer camps, you know. Yeah, and I feel him. How much money do you really need to, you know, offer some kids a free summer camp? Honestly.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're an athlete making millions on millions of dollars and you got some kids in, you know, lower income neighborhoods or whatever the case may be who can't necessarily afford it, hook the kids up, man. You know, these are the guys who look up for you. You guys wouldn't be anything without these young kids, you know, especially coming from that specific community. If you're going back to where you came from, those kids really look up to you because they see themselves in you. They see I can be like you and get out of this area and do better for myself.
Yeah. Folks so need opportunities.
Exactly. So much love to Michael Bennett for that. And we'll get to something related to that in my what the fucks. But last one is going back to Damian Lillard again.
Mm.
We all know Damian Lillard from Oakland.
Yep.
Old town boy. Somebody on the Twitter asked him, you know, Kevin Durant's going to Golden State. Yo, Dame, you going to go back home? And I love his response. Hell no.
That is great.
And then somebody tweeted him back and was like, in that case, you're losing in the playoffs the next 10 years. And his response was, well, WELP. Well,
oh, that's funny. That's great. Am I going back?
Hell no.
I mean, and that's why I love me some Damian Lillard, dude. It's that competition. He's like, F this. We know what time it is.
Why would I go
to kick ass time?
So I can be a backup?
That's what I'm saying. Plus, I'm like, he wants to beat Steph Curry, homie.
Yeah, one, I mean, he's in Portland. You act like this fool on the East Coast.
Yeah, he's like right up the street.
Yeah, I'm in Portland. Like, I can, if I need to go back home, I can get back home. Like, that's not a problem.
That's funny. But yeah, I was like, oh, I thought that was funny. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. So I think I have a couple. I was trying to remember all mine, but all right, let me start with the major one. Shout out to my boy Timmy D. Tim Duncan, 19. Let me see if I can pull up some of these stats. Career average of 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 50% shooting from the field.
That's crazy.
5
for his career.
Yeah. 5-time champion, 14-time All-Star.
Jeez.
7th all-time in blocks, 19th all-time in points, 11th all-time in rebounds, 1st all-time in playoff blocks.
Oof.
3rd all-time in playoff rebounds. I mean, what else? I see he got like a, I mean, I keep
how winning many percentage. Teams?
Wait, since drafting Tim Duncan, best they call 18-year stretch in NBA history, 70% win percentage.
That's freaking stupid. 70%. God damn.
I'm saying.
How many all defensive teams did he make?
Well, he made
25.
He made 8 all defense first teams. 6 all defense second teams, all NBA first team 10 times, and I think that was like his first 10 years in the league or something. 3 times a second team, 1 time third team. I mean, what they got?
Best power forward.
Playoff minutes played record. Got the regular season wins as a trio, the highest, 539, or second most of all time. I'm like, come on. I think they got, as a playoff trio, they got the most wins. I mean, this dude,
he's the greatest power forward to ever play the game.
Yeah, and now what I say that, you know, part of me feel a little salty and I get mad because I'm a historian. I like history and all that, is I don't want the position put in front of me because I don't feel like nobody, they don't be doing that to other people.
Oh, is
they
it
don't say, is LeBron forward? James the best small forward in the league? They don't say it ever. No, they don't say that. Kobe Bryant, is he the best? You don't ask say that. You say, is he the best player in ever? I guess for him, the argument for shooting guard would be a no.
Is he the best big?
No, I can't put him above. I can't put him above the big three. In terms of big,
top 5 big all time.
Yes, I say he's. I say he's top 10 all time.
Top 5 debatable.
I don't have him in my top 5. I mean, like, even though I say he's pretty much, he carried Bill Russell's torch. Like, to me, when I think of somebody like Bill Russell, I think of Tim Duncan.
Well, he was a much better scorer than Bill Russell.
Yeah, Bill Russell didn't have to. I think Bill Russell could score his butt off. I just think he didn't have to. His team was so dominant, they needed him to just defend and, I mean, you could argue, is he the best defensive player ever? I know folks are like, he wasn't a forward, he a center. And I'm like, okay, so where do you rank him then? Like, top five,
Tim Duncan.
Yeah, top 5 bigs. Yeah, it's. I don't know if I can put him over to, you know, Wilt Cream and Russell. That's tough.
It's been kind of weird seeing Tim Duncan these past few years just because you forget how dominant he was in his prime.
Like, I want to say, like, I think the year
crazy good.
Oh, they had one. What did they say? Game 6, 2003, I think, versus the Nets. He had 20 points, 10 boards, 10 assists, and 8 blocks. Like, what the hell?
He would have been, I think, the first player to have a quadruple double since
almost. But I'm like, in game 6 in the playoffs, like, let's just lock this down right now. It's like, not 20 point team, around 10 assists and 8 blocks.
I mean, that was the thing about Tim Duncan with the Spurs. You were just like, they always there,
dude. It's like 19 straight years they basically won 50 games. That's ridiculous. And his last season, where it's like, you know what, maybe he falling off. They had their best season record-wise as a franchise ever. 67 wins. Like, come on. Golden State did that the year before. We like, damn, that's a lot of wins. All right, we're going to do that.
Like, the man is good.
I mean, he said he's the leader of that team. I mean, I watched the joint with Pop talking about him. I mean, I didn't get to watch. I was listening to the whole thing. I peek sometimes trying to hear you. Pop was getting emotional, holding it in. Now, yeah, this is just like Tim Duncan not to be here. Like, no full-on, hey, Tim, I'm retiring. Give me gifts.
It just kind of came and went. You were just like, he's retiring.
Yeah, I'm retiring. Oh, okay. And everybody said all season, Tim Duncan, we're going to retire. We're like, you're just going to hear about it. Like, oh, he retired? Oh, okay. As he did, no press conference. I saw him do.
I'm leaving. I'm going out like I came in.
Yeah, I saw him do an interview with one of his boys from the Virgin Islands, like a 45 minute. Him sitting in his house with his boy, just talking, boy asking him questions. I mean, the dude, even his letter to the fans was like 3 paragraphs. It was like, it wasn't even that long. This dude, I mean, he said Bill Russell, I think, was almost kind of like, he's one of his favorite players. I mean, when you got legends, I think Dr. J held them high. I mean, when you got legends that you grew up watching who were like, you the shit.
Yep.
I want to be like you, dude. Like, come on. I mean, like, he could be arguably the greatest teammate ever, greatest team leader, all about winning.
I would say for a superstar, he might be the greatest teammate. Just because he was the most, he's probably been the most unselfish superstar I've ever seen. Somebody who really truly is like, anything you want me to, I know how good I am, but anything I got to do to help this team win, I'll do it. Whether it's coming off the bench, whether you want me to focus on defense, focus on rebounds, whatever it is, I will go, I'll play center, I'll play power forward, I don't matter, whatever. I mean, just he's probably the most unselfish superstar I've ever seen. Yeah. Just because he never wanted the spotlight on him. It seemed like ever. It was never about him. It was about my team.
It was
always about my team.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, man. He's gonna be missed.
And that's why you forget he was a superstar, because he was just so nonchalant about it. It's not like, I know I'm the greatest. It's like, I'm good, but that doesn't define who I am.
Nah, it doesn't. He all about winning and whenever it takes.
That's it.
I mean, I what did Pop say? When I think he said right before Tim's dad passed away and he started getting choked up telling the story. And his dad was like, I'm entrusting you to make sure that when he's done playing this game, he's the same person as he is right now. And
that's
he's
deep.
Like... And he is.
Yep. He's the same person.
All about winning. I mean, come on. Like, I'm already like, fuck, what we gonna do? What we
gonna
do?
But the thing is, with the Spurs, man, they'll be fine.
Yeah, it's just
weird not seeing him.
Yeah, so he said it's gonna be weird not him being in there. I mean, the dude could get cussed out by Popovich.
Mm-hmm.
And was just like, all right. And would take
would
it. Like, Popovich, say whatever you're going to say. I got whatever.
Never bitched in the media. Never complained.
Nope. Yeah, I ain't no need to complain.
That's what it was.
I mean,
even when the man got teed up laughing on the bench, he just had to look like, what the hell did I do?
Yeah. People are always going to have fun. I mean, yeah, he was relaxed when it came to his clothing. Was relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like you said, he's an island kid. Flip-flop. Baggy jeans and shit. What you dressing up? What you wearing? These jeans.
And I'm just waiting for when they retire his jersey, because it's gonna happen.
Oh yeah, in the next couple of years it's gonna happen.
Ain't nobody wearing that 2-1 ever again.
Hell no. You know, folks gonna be saying, I ain't that sad over here.
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
Get that teary eye, but yeah, man. Now I gotta see, because before him it was Magic as my favorite. I don't know, man. You know, rolling with that dude since he got to the Spurs. At Wake Forest,
even before
then,
at Wake Forest,
just quiet, all about handling business, not trying to showboat. And they don't have dude. They don't make dude like that.
No, they don't.
I can't. You know, I'm a fan of Kawhi Leonard. I am, but he not my favorite player.
And I don't
know if he
dominated in what, 3 decades?
Yeah, won 3 championships in over 3 decades.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah,
shout out to that man.
Shout out to that man. And quickly, I do want to give a shout out to the fam, our cousin Lauren Mack. On the Fab Life show, she recently did on the show, talked about her weight loss journey, and you know, I had read about it, so I was like, oh, let me tape it, and so I watched it the other day, and I showed Kim after I watched it. I mean, that shit almost had me tearing up. I mean, just, you know, saying where she been and not always being a friend and not the cute one that everybody like and going through all that. And I mean, you know, now
I gotta see that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Now with, you know, how she looks now, which is, I mean, niggas would get in a fight, try to get at her. And she still is kind of like, she doesn't know how to take it. Like, I was never that girl. And all of a sudden, I am. And, I mean, I don't know. It was powerful. She said she had never shared that story publicly. It was a good, like, 5 segments. So, you know, shout out to her. You know, speaking up, it will help out a lot of people. You know, everybody got something that does bother them or they wish was different. You know, get teased for it. So no, that was deep. I was like, emotional shit all over the place.
Hey, shout out to our cousin Lauren Mack, man. I love Lauren. I send her the show all the time, so she gets them. She's like, it's all Chinese to her because she don't know sports, but she supports us anyway, which I love. And that's all I can ask for. Much love. I went to go see her live at the Fab Live. She's one of my favorite cousins, man. She's awesome. I always love Lauren. Wish you the best, cuz, and love, peace, and happiness.
Oh yeah,
always.
She's good people.
Yeah, she's very down to earth.
Yeah.
And anybody fuck with my cousin, you got to deal with me. Holla.
There you go. And I just thought of one since we're going to get into these what the fucks. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's on the front line, marching, protesting, all these big cities, overseas. You know,
peacefully.
Y'all doing the damn thing. Shout out to them folk in Dallas who got together and even stood together when all that drama went down. You know, we need more of that. You know, we appreciate y'all. Some people just talking and I'm not out there really, but I appreciate y'all who out there who are doing it.
Yeah, straight up. Honestly,
everybody can't do the frontline work. They just can't. That's not where they
and best. I can't lie. That's not me. I that's not who I am. I appreciate everybody who's putting their lives on the line for the community. My prayers and go out with you, and I'm there in spirit with all of you. I truly, truly am. I wish all of you the best and all the protection in the world. I hope God is protecting all of you and just keeps you safe. All I want is to see this done in peace, man. I just don't want any violence. That's all. That's all I want.
No, it's going to get a little testy. It's going to get tested.
Of course.
But we don't. It doesn't need the result.
Don't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Don't even pull the gun out.
Yeah. And massive deaths. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it don't need to be lives taken.
Be the stronger person. Be the bigger person.
What you can. All right, man. So, yeah, let's hop into these because I know I got a few to get off my chest.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, I got just a couple. Okay. Quick one. Cavs had to pay $54 million in luxury tax for this past 2015-2016 season. Oof. The tax threshold was $84.7 million, so I guess they was way over that. And this day penalty. So they keep at this point, keeping the team together. Probably been back J.R. Smith. Let something happen. So I would assume, you know, I'm sure they'll make some moves to try to chip away. But they're gonna be paying about $900 million next season. I'm sure. You know, unless they trade Kevin Love, which is a possibility.
Yeah.
But if LeBron trying to get another ring, sorry, Dan Gilbert, you're going to be coughing up $128 million in luxury tax. You better not cut nobody. What? We need him. But he never played. So funny. What? You better leave him.
Oh, that's funny.
Pay the luxury tax, Dan Gilbert.
Exactly.
I don't want to. What?
Yeah.
Nope, I think not. And my other one, just I was talking about, shout out. You know what? I'm a big fan of Inside the NBA. I think that is probably my favorite show out there. But I'm really, really starting to get tired of Charles Barkley. Mm. Very much so. And this, I saw this article. It made the point. I heard him. You know, we had fun on with his joint on Bill Simmons. You know, but I'm tired of him being asked about what's going on in society and specifically the black community, specifically. Yeah. Because
he puts his fucking foot in his mouth.
No matter what happens, black folk always at fault and we always the ones who got to fix it. We always the one who got to change. He will always throw in there, look, the police do make mistakes, but But he never say, you know what, the police need to get their act together and change themselves. He don't say that. He will tell black people, though, to get their shit together.
Oh, yeah.
And his line, well, even I'm glad Dan Le Batard came back on something. He was like, look, I mean, black people do stuff that, you know, sometimes deserve to get shot for. You're like, what in the fuck? Are you serious, nigga?
Is that what he said?
I mean, listen to it. He's basically, I don't know if he said it like that, but he's basically like, you know, listen to that. Black people do commit crimes. And basically like, well, you know, the police do sometimes be justified in what they do. He's like, nigga, what?
It, see, that you part of the problem.
Like, we got to act. No, what's the thing? I'm like, we don't, everybody always complains when somebody else kill us. But whenever it's black on black crime, don't nobody say nothing. I don't hear nothing. And they like, we like, dude, you know what? You know what? You want to be honest and shit. But one, that doesn't get the coverage. That is not a CNN Fox story.
Exactly.
A cop they don't killing care. A black guy, a white cop shooting a black kid. Nigga, that is front page news.
Yep.
And possibly because it's like, oh, another nigga did? Put that on. I want to see that. Who did that? But if it's like, oh, it's a black person, we don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
It ain't making news. How, you know, all it is the, well, we hear about Chicago beat to death. Like, motherfucking Chicago is like, as soon as you step on the wrong street, you getting, like, it's, you, they make it sound like it's tanks in that motherfucker.
Right.
Everybody like, well, you know, in Chicago, I'm like, what? What? They shooting bazookas at niggas? They kill, they throwing grenades at each other? Like, come the fuck on. You know, people do protest. Black people in those communities complain a lot.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's
because
you ain't listening.
Right, if you look at local media, you know, which sometimes it's hard to watch because, damn, it's just like the news be just giving you sad crap after sad news all the time. And then 5 minutes of good. But you see it. You'll see the, you know, unfortunately, the black kid get killed by in their community or gang or something. And you see the community pissed off. You see them marching. You see them trying to do stuff. So you can't tell me black people don't care.
He's trapped in his white little world.
I mean, dude.
He ain't
like,
seeing it.
Yeah, I'm like, well, he's conservative on a lot of stuff.
He is.
And I'm just like, look, if you're going to say, you know, yes, there are things in my community that need to get better. Mm-hmm. But you can't just be like, well, what about this specifically? Well, they do have a reason sometimes. Like, kiss
no,
my
don't.
Ass. So, and that's why I'm like, you know what? Just stop. Yeah, yeah, if you find it and listen to it, because at some point, even Dan Le Batard's like, Charles, come on. Well, you don't know. You not black, though. Like, nigga.
And neither are you, apparently.
Like, come on. Like, stop.
Because you ain't getting it.
You know, I'm just, God.
I hear you.
It's I'm frustrated. I'm like, all right, look, stop. Stop.
A lot of people like, been there with Charles
like,
already.
Look, now, you know, when he gets down to, he says some stuff that does make some sense sometimes. So I'm not going to say everything he says is stupid. But when it comes to this particular subject, I don't want to hear him asked about it at all. Do not come on anymore.
Yeah.
Don't. I'm tired. I'm just like, dude, shut your damn mouth. You don't care. You sound like you're standing from afar pointing a finger. Yeah. And I know he said he gives money and whatnot, but I was like, you ain't talking about that as much, but you ain't quick to say this is what I'm doing, but you quick to shit on folk.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very Cosby-esque.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I mean, that's why I'm like, all right.
Don't do nothing dumb.
Yeah, like, you know, when the show come on, I watch because, hey, it's funny. When he's talking basketball and he says something as basketball, he sounds stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And he says stupid stuff, which is why we laugh at his ass. Because he's okay with being the butt of jokes.
Yep.
But when this, you know, just leave him. Don't talk about what happens in the community. Don't talk about Black Lives. Don't, none of that. He's one of the people you want to be like, dude, just stick to talking sports, please.
Yep.
And I don't like pushing people in that box. You should talk about whatever you want. You shouldn't be like, well, it's sports. I don't want to hear them talk. Say what you got to say. But damn, like, that's enough, Charles. Take a break. That's all I got.
All right. Well, for my what the fucks, I got two of them. The first one is kind of, I don't know if it's a response to Michael Bennett the Norse word I said earlier. But Steph Curry, he has a camp that he holds in Hawaii. You know how much the camp is?
$300.
Oh no, sir! You got to go up.
Nigga, don't tell me it's like $1,000.
Try two.
$2,000.
$2,250.
Damn.
And that is exactly why Michael Bennett was like, "How much money do you need to make to give kids a free camp?" But on that's besides the point.
Nigga, are they going around the whole, all five islands of Hawaii and shit?
No.
I mean, damn.
So Steph Curry posted, I guess, like an Instagram message or something with the picture of, I guess, his brother's camp.
Mm-hmm.
And said, if you're in the greater LA area, check out Seth Curry's camp at Ventura College. Won't cost you $2,000 and it will be a great time learning from a really talented player. Seth Curry's camp is $200.
Okay. That's better.
So again, I don't know if Steph Curry heard what Michael Bennett said and was like, well, I just really wasn't cool with the whole, if you ain't got 2,000 to spend, you know, you can go here. It's like, nigga.
Don't charge 2,000.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, wait a minute. So for $2,000, is my son getting personally tutored by you?
It got to be. If I'm paying $2,000, you better be fucking there. And I better be able to come in there and shake your hand every when I see you, when I drop him off, shaking your hand. When I leave, I'm shaking your hand.
Yeah, but now I read the little. I went to the website of the camp or whatever, and down in Hawaii, it's like 4 days and three nights, and it says he's there, but then I guess it also shows that there are like assistant coaches who tend to lead some of the classes. So again, I'm like,
of course.
So I mean, $2,000 though. Jeez, like.
I mean, do I have to live in the motherfucker? Like, are you paying for airfare too?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like,
I didn't see, but like,
still,
you get housed. I guess they said in like the dorms that house like BYU and Hawaii University or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was just like, good lord, $2,000, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean,
God damn, bro.
I'm gonna charge that, but yeah, that's the high end camp.
Like Damian Lillard's is $300.
Yeah, it's just
like, God damn, $2,000, bro.
My kid better come back balling.
you better be able to shoot just like you.
Serious improvement.
Golly, I'm like, God.
No, but you know, you got other rich white kids and rich folk like, oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, I bet.
It's because he can get it. He can get it.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's hard. It's tempting when you can get it.
And then last but not least, the 76ers screwed the Spurs. So the 76ers forced the Spurs to pay a little bit more money than they wanted to Manu Ginobili. So I'm assuming you saw the little, they offered him, I think, $10 million initially.
Yes, I saw that.
The 76ers offered him a 2-year guaranteed deal. And
I'm ready to hear
they offered $17 million guaranteed in the first year.
Oh, snap.
Which is why the Spurs, well, I guess their initial offer was like a little bit less than a 10. I guess it was around like the Spurs 5 or something like that. The Spurs offer.
Yeah, because I
because
heard
they him, said they the Spurs more than tripled their initial offer to him.
Yeah, because I heard him say he was going to be looking other ways. Like I was like, okay, he tried, and I get it.
Rich poor.
I get it. He was like, he said, I'm basically, you know, I'm loyal here, but I'm gonna keep my options open. And I was like, okay, he might be headed out.
But yeah,
damn,
so, I mean,
17
like,
in
yeah.
the first year.
He probably came back like, yo, Philly's offering 17. They're like, well, we ain't offering you that.
Ain't no 2-year deal.
You got 1 year with 14. Okay, I'll take that.
1 year. Yeah, it was like, we'll you know.
I mean, clearly he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave.
No, it's his last one. I think this is it for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're like, hey, you know what? We take care of you. Didn't Philly just sign Gerald Henderson?
Yeah, but it's Philly. They got to spend money, I think, to lease the cap.
Yeah.
So they're just like, hey, we'll throw you some money.
I'm looking. That free agent being looking mighty thin.
Yeah, if I'm a free agent from any team, I'm like, hey, Philly, what's up? Mm-hmm. Make me an offer so I can take it back to my team.
Jeez, man.
But that's all.
Okay. Speaking of Philly, since I think Baylor mentioned it, we could get a what the fuck. Are they sitting Ben Simmons?
What do you mean?
Because I think that's what he was like. Are they trying to be? Are they resting Ben Simmons in the? Because I don't think he played or something in the summer league. Like I guess their most recent game, he wasn't playing.
Oh, I don't know if he's either not playing or maybe they feel like he got nothing left to prove.
I mean, he ain't got nothing to prove, but I mean, it's like. Dude, like, you know,
I ain't never seen it where a rookie is just sat. I'm like, he good, but he ain't that good yet.
Like, it is summer league. Like, I mean, after summer league, it's like a month, 2 months off.
I'm like, even Kyle Anderson from your team was playing.
Yeah, he played a few, and even then they were like, why is he playing? But
I mean, they just had the same thing about Devin Booker. People were like, why the hell is he even playing? He's killing this.
Right. But, I mean... Yep, but, seriously. Yep, what? Here it is. Yep, Ben Simmons uncertain for final sentences game summer league after rest.
Wow. Yep.
76ers opted not to play Simmons for a second consecutive day on Thursday when they took on the Brooklyn Nets. Said Simmons wanted to play, but after consulting with the team's coaches and medical staff, it was decided to rest him.
Rest him for what? Like, he's 37? Are you kidding me? He's 19 years old. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm sick of this. I'm now that we're doing it now in the summer league, I don't know what else to do. Like, I understood it to an extent in the regular season. But doing this shit in the summer league, that's just flat out stupid and ridiculous.
Man, this is bullshit!
Unless you were Kyle Anderson, a Devin Booker, somebody who's been in the league a year or two, and it's just like, this is warm-up practice for you. You're like, you're destroying these guys. It's like, he don't need to play. Okay, well, then he don't need to play. But for a rookie?
Yeah, I don't get that.
God. And Philly, of all teams.
Yeah, I mean, the dude, like, you play him. Like,
people came to Vegas to see him.
He needs the reps, for one thing. Well, that's what I'm thinking, like, then just don't play him the whole game. But he needs
fans,
like, dude,
came to see him.
Hey, congratulations, you've made your dream come true. Let's get to work. Like give him a little something in the playbook, and I'm sure he wanted to play. Like, dude, I need the reps. Nah, we gonna rest him.
Hell no.
I ain't with that. Nope. I ain't with that at all. So yeah. Baylor got one in. I was like, ooh, I know Spear. Like, this is some bullshit.
Kidding me? Resting in the summer league. Jesus Christ. I don't know what else to do.
I don't know either.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That's it.
I don't get it. So, yeah, man, I want to thank y'all once again for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. We will be off for probably 1 to maybe 2 weeks, going out of town, visiting his family in Detroit.
Yeah, visiting the D town.
Yep, I'm gonna be in the D.
Gotta get my Jay Dilla tracks.
Yeah, that's what we was talking about. Same thing.
Little village, where you at?
Fam and I headed out for a little bit, spending a little more time for vacation. So probably a couple weeks, probably back in August, but, you know, once we get back, it's that time. We got to start getting ready.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
Man, also, you know, we're going to start hearing these voices.
You play to win the game.
Like, hey, all y'all football fans, come on.
Yeah, buddy.
Come on, let us know how you're feeling.
Yeah, I think we're going to start. I think I'm going to come back. Going to start getting ready. Start previewing the season. I can't believe football here already.
You need some fantasy tips. Hit me up. Hit me up. I got the fantasy tips on lock.
Yeah.
Will get you gold.
Yeah, man. The Happy Hour Fantasy League, I guess, already set back in.
Mm-hmm.
Start getting folk ready. Get prepared.
Might have to do a fantasy special.
Yeah, we might have to, man.
I'll lay y'all out my rankings of who you should pick. How about that?
Football coming back. I'm kind of interested in doing. We probably do the re-rankings of the top folk at the skill position. I don't know. It's going to be fun. Football, I mean, we're going to come back.
It's always
refreshed and ready. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up. You know, you can listen to us and everything else on the network, the break, turn my headphones up. You know, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, any place else, Player FM, Overcast FM, all that. You can find us there. Leave us some 5-star reviews. Let us know what you guys think of the show. We will read them on. We will read them. If you want to get at us directly on Twitter at Brothers Layman, email thebrotherslayman at gmail.com. Voicemails 323-455-4219. And as always, you know, show page, blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know how you're feeling. For all the first-time listeners out there, definitely want to thank you guys for just tuning in to see what we're about up in here in the happy hour. For all the long-time listeners, thank you for just hanging out with us for the long haul. We definitely do appreciate it. Go ahead and drop the little 5-star reviews up in there. They do help us out for the long haul and get us some attention, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, for everybody out there, if you enjoyed the show, honestly, go ahead and tell all your loved ones about it. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. Seeing as how we didn't get any feedback today. Go ahead and just all the Black Lives Matter people, all the families out there who have lost loved ones due to the tragedies that are going on, all the young children out there who have no freaking idea what's going on, all the adults out there who have seen what's been going on for years and generations, to all the, just everybody out there, it's a time for peace. This is a time for love. This is a time for coming together as one country, one world, and lifting up each other to make this country great. That's what it's all about. We love all of you out there, all the listeners, everybody, all the fans, everybody out there, if you're fans or not. We pray for you guys. We hope all of you stay safe. Please, please, please live life to the fullest, because you never know when the day may come.
Yep.
And I'm out.
All right. Be safe out there, y'all.
Yo, wake peace. Up. Wipe the sleep from your eye cracks. It's time to focus, y'all. Fix your eye max. In other words, listen to the brother's words. Ingest these antidotes with hope in your ass. They learn how to cope. It's not always good just to get by. Who's covering when your stakes when you bet high? You're chasing cars, clothes, and rocks. Identify with the goods you got. Make sure it's BS1, not imperfect, leaving you unclear. I really don't care to see your tattoos, dear. I'd rather see you graduate the school year. Black folk, go put a book in your face. But first, give the hook a taste. Bring the preacher in. Heal. Heal, dog. We come to healing. It's real. It's real. It's real and real. Real and real. Heal, dog. We come to healing. So let it heal. It's real. It's real. It's real and real. Real and real. Sick world that we live in, let some tell it. Some put it in books, some yell it. You need to make your own choice, be your own voice. Set your soapbox up, let your talk fight. Pull your socks up, get your walk right. Or the chalk might outline you one day. You ought to try stepping outside you one day. You circle around yourself like you the answer to the question of your inner self. But keep your falsehoods to a minimum, minimum. We all need a little church, a life update, keyword update. If they don't serve change, don't fight the bait. Instead of giving you a share, serving you a dish, I lead you to the water, show you how to fish. Ain't nothing wrong with making that bread with it. Just don't let the bread get to your head, get it? And admit it, but you can't stand alone. I want to stand up, give all the pretend up, and get a full glass of my demands up. The wine runneth over, sip the man's cup. There's something in our words that can feel. Show not real. Hell, y'all, we coming here. So let it hell, yo. It's real. It's real. It's real and real. Real and real. Hell, y'all, we gonna heal it. So let it.
bird gets the worm in this rotten apple. But explore deeper, you'll find a seed. Plant more ether, get your mind free. Grow passionate, put your life's last in it. You holding fear too close, unfasten it. And like old age, invade youth. Invade falseness with truth. Replace rebelling with rebirth. Face through dwelling, that's the turf. Now kick back and put your feet up on the sofa, bruh. Relax, relax. Learn how to punch back. Into your work to the max. The payoff's much sweeter than the payback. Even the haystack needle wouldn't play that. So let's pray at church, church. Heal, heal, y'all. We got the healing. It's real, it's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. It's real.